everyone. Glad you could be with us for our Sunday night service. And I'd like to welcome all those out in Facebook land. And if you're out there in the parking lot, listen on the FM 88.1. And as always, we're going to start off. We're going to sing number 231. We'd always sing this song. We always start off singing. So let's stand and sing number 231. Come, Christians, join the sing.
And again, I thank all those that labored in making this weekend, but I left out the praise team, and they did a wonderful job, and so thankful for them and stepping up. And, you know, that's the first time that they've worshiped outward since one of their members went home to be with the Lord, Sister Catherine. And I know it had to be a little bit uncomfortable when your leader has not there. Tonight we're going to be back in our statement of faith, our Thomas Village statement of faith and profession. We want to do our prayer needs tonight and all that. And then if you have a testimony about this weekend, you're more than welcome to tell us it. But tonight we'll, Lord willing, be in 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll be standing on the truth of the Word of God, as we try to do each and every time. But do we have any word? And to those of you that's watching my Facebook or listening out in the parking lot, we just want you to know we love you, but nowhere near the way that Christ Jesus loves you. And He'll do even more and take you further than you ever expected if you'll let Him into your life tonight. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this evening? Lord, praise the Lord. And we were praying for Jill Dysart, and she came through her oral situation very well, and they were able to get it all done, and we give God the glory for that as well. And thank you, Brother Johnny. Anyone else? Okie dokie. We do want to start out and remember, number one, the lost, those that do not know Jesus Christ. I mean, if we could, we know that there's going to be thousands that die before the sun rises again, and the majority of those will plunge headlong into eternal destruction and separation from our Lord Jesus Christ. And we just praise Him for the fact that He is still saving souls, and somewhere as we speak, there is salvation being given. And then also, you know, it's sad. Sometimes you have to learn a lot through situations as is happening in the Ukraine right now and all that's going on there. And we just pray that God protect and bring peace. And that's what we're to pray for. We're to pray for peace, specifically the peace of Israel. But we are peacemakers. The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, and knowing that that is more of a spiritual. But we are to be the ones that to endeavor to bring peace, you know. We do want to continue to pray for the Daniels family, the Williams family, Herbert Roten family. We want to pray for the Kecks. Any news on Kayla Goodman tonight? Did they? And he's kept her. Praise God. That is a miracle right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is good. Because last we heard it was. Yeah. The babies. How her babies were. That's a mama's heart right there, ain't it? Sick as she could be, but. And prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. We do want to remember the Don and Trish Adams family as they lost a 41-year-old this week. And it was to an overdose, accidental overdose. And we just want to remember them. Want to continue to pray for Sister Yvonne as she's mending and healing. We want to pray for the Ricky Sheffield family, the Brittany Geirenstaff family, Cody Carlson. Hold on just a second. Where's the names I was supposed to take off? J.D. Nielsen, Sister Phyllis, Jeanette Carter, Tommy Mullins, Melanie Lester, Mary Jane Carter, the Gillette family, Wilma Williams, Michael Storms. I know Cody Carlson is to be taken off. And then Karen McDavid, Charlie Taylor, Lisa Estep, Betty Carter, Aiden Jurgen, Kathy Baldwin. If these need to be taken off when you hear it, say take that off, okay? I'll give a little bit of space of it after it. But Sherry Dean Cooper, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Chuck Kearney, Braden, Randy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Beeler, Debbie Starnes, Ashley Clark, Larry Bledsoe, the CC family, Margaret Williams, Pam Savarsky, Jesse Bull, Jason Knight, Steve Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Christopher. Keep praying for Sister Moselle, Heather Markham, Helen Garrett, Betty McCorkle, Teresa Holder, Susie Hill, Bridget Barnes, Roger and Virginia Eden, Junior Wade, Daryl Hurd, Charlie Bishop, Gail Stidham, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes. She was here this weekend. We give God praise for that, and looking great, and still got some more stuff coming, but God is bringing healing, and we give him glory for that. JT and Gladys Jones, Laura Evans and family, Carol Carter, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Vicki Littrell, Ezekiel Jordan, Eddie and Chris Barnett, Bradley Bowen, Daisy Richards, Nick Roten, Dakota McQueen, Taylor and Donna Hodge, David and Felicia Cantrell, Judy Webb, Robbie Jordan, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Rhonda Bryce, Jerry Flannery, John and Carmine Shoup, Chelsea LeBlanc, Wilma Jean Tomlinson, Helen Bowen, Ruth Roten, Liza Fletcher, Hoyt and Phyllis Bledsoe, Cecilia and Frank Pennington, Mary Snodgrass, Nick Patrick, David Starnes, Nick Patrick, David Starnes, okay. Brother Danny and Sister Sherry, Jewel Williams, Deborah Taylor, Candy Worth, Daniel Green, Kim and Dale Owens, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, Jimmy Taylor, Hazel Dingus, Shalene Harris, and any others that we have tonight. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Well, we do know that there were some commitments reaffirmed this weekend as husband and wife, and we just want to pray, because just as sure as you make those commitments, I know that there were some others that were here that may not be married yet, but I'm sure they made some commitments to the Lord, some promises to the Lord, and so we want to recognize those. And do we have any other tonight before we go any further? And I do remind you that the altar is open, and God willing, it will always be open. I'm going to ask Brother Otis if he would come and lead us in our prayer time tonight over our prayer needs. And again, we know that it's our privilege to pray for people, and it's our duty to pray for people. It's the greatest thing we can do. But number one, souls, lifting up souls, and that God teach us how to evangelize in the age in which we find ourselves, because, you know, it's just different. So, Brother Otis.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's pray. Father, we come this evening with mixed emotions about many things, about life itself, and the responsibility in our lives for each of us, to ourselves and to our families, and Lord, our loved ones. And we have many going through much, and this is going to be happening continually. It gets better, and then it waxes worse and worse. We've had near 20 deaths of friends, members of the church, relatives, community friends that have passed within the past 3 months that we know of. Many more, but those personally we know of. And you tell us in your word that it's appointed for us to die. We don't get around it. We got to go through it. And we know that, Lord. But it still is hard when we have loved ones who pass away, friends who die. And the good thing about it, most of them have been Christians. They've been saved. And as Brother Gary said it, Brother Jay's funeral is not so long. It's not goodbye. It's I'll see you again. And that's a great promise. Because when we leave loved ones, no matter where it's from, church or a home, families, we don't know when we'll see them again or if we will. But we know you know. You control us. You control our lives. And we just thank you for that. Because if we would control it, I tried that. Most of all of us have tried that. And my life was out of control. I didn't know where I was going, sometimes what I was doing, and why I was even doing it. But you did, and you led me through it, and you brought me through it. I take no credit for myself. You sought me, as the word says. I didn't seek you. And I just thank you for this weekend conference of marriage, again, to remind us what we need to do, what we need to be as couples, as wife and husband. And as Holly said, it's something you have to work at every day. Mm-hmm. It's not something that we just have learned and we know to do it. We have to work at it. And we the same thing with our walk with you. Paul says in the Word, I die daily to the Christ. I have to get up in the morning and start anew and commit myself, a sinful person, to be like you. And that's a commitment I have to do every day. I don't get over it, but I need to be there. I need you. We all need you, Lord. And we just thank you so much for our church family. We pray for those, Lord, that are having procedures this week. We pray for tests that are being done this week. We pray for, especially on our hearts, as Brother Rick Holland and others that, Lord, have tests and issues. We all do. If we're honest with you and honest with ourselves, we all have issues. And some of them only you can help with. And only you can do anything about. Salvation for others, I do all I can do, but that's all I can do. I can't win, as we say, someone to the Lord. You have to draw them. Your Spirit has to draw them. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We just ask, Lord, that He abound in us tonight. He abounds in this place. He abounds with each of us this week. And if He abounds in us, we shouldn't be hiding it. Are we ashamed of you, Lord, because we don't tell others about you? I think sometimes we are. And I just ask you to help us with that. Help me with that. That I can be bold in your word and bold in telling others about you. To pass it on. To parents beget children. To have procreation. To have the generation continue. And we have to do the same thing as Christians. We have many on our prayer list that are unsaved. But sometimes we come and pray about them and we walk away. And we come back the next session, the next service, and we pray about them and we walk away. But what do I do about that? Personally, what do I do? And I'm just praying that you'd help me with that. Help me be more bold. Help us to be more bold as a church. To be serious about the lost. To be serious about those around us that are not saved or not committed. One thing I took from the marriage conference this weekend was to commitment, to have more commitment out of me, myself, me, and my wife, and to each other and to our neighbors, our family, and to look more like you. And, Father, that's hard to do. It's hard to look like God Himself, for we're sinners, and we're bent towards sin. Adam and Eve took care of that. We've never gotten over being sinners. We've gotten over not being saved, but sin still can dominate our lives. And we just ask you to help each of us with that, to help grow us as Christians, as church members, as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray specifically for Brother Danny again this coming week with his procedure and what he's going through. And we pray for others that may have situations we don't know about, but Lord, you do. You just take care of them in the way you would do, not how we would do. And thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the word that he teaches and preaches every session, every sermon. Thank you, Lord, that he's serious about serving you and not for glory of himself. And we thank you for it. We thank you for each one here tonight again, and bless us with this service. May it be a good spirit, and may we say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes,
we ask each blessing in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for those. 2 Peter chapter 1. I've got two prayer requests I just want to lay out before you. One of them is I've had a headache since about 3 o'clock this afternoon, so just pray about that. But then also, it's going on 2 years since I got my degree, my 4-year degree, and at that time I felt the Lord. About 10? How many did you say? I said, no, it's been about 10. But I made a commitment that time that I wasn't going to stop my education there, and that I'd like to get my Master's of Divinity.
and just not got around to it. But I've also made commitments to the Lord. And one of the last trips I went with Brother Philip Smith was we went and looked at a school. But I'm not a good online learner. And so I need to find one. You know, some of them will let you come for like 2 weeks out of semester. And then I need some in-class learning. So pray that God find the right program for me and that I can get involved in it. But if I don't start it, I ain't going to start it, you know. But as you're finding your place there in 2 Peter chapter 1, does anybody have a testimony, or maybe you'd like to talk about something that stood out to you from this weekend, even if you were only able to make it for one session or anything like that? All righty. Do continue to pray for Brother Matt and Sister Holly. Tonight, go ahead and just recognize the first mistake in the notes that I made. It is not our sixth study. It's our fifth study right there at the top, you know. Continue number six. No, it's number five. So, but we're bowling on through there. Just remain seated as we begin. We're going to be there in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And remember, we talked about that we believe the Bible because it's a reliable collection of historical documents written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses who reported supernatural events that took place as fulfillment of specific prophecies and claims that find their origins in heaven and not on earth. And so, as we are told, it says, "For we did not follow cleverly contrived myths when we made known to you the power of coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, a voice came to him from the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, I take delight in him.' And we heard this voice when it came from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain. So we have the prophetic word strongly confirmed. You will do well to pay attention to it as a lamp shining in a dismal or dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. First of all, you should know this. No prophecy or scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And like we talked about this morning, and we read off the acronym, all those different letters that stand for so many different type of lifestyles. If you read in Scripture, it says that there'll come a time when there will be seducing spirits and deceitful fables, and people will begin to fall for it. And right now, we're living in a time of seducing spirits. There's all kind, any type of, any way you feel on Monday, there's going to be a religion that affirm that in your life. And you may feel completely different on Tuesday, and guess what? You'll be able to find a religion that suits your emotions for that day. And matter of fact, you could probably go a month without having to repeat the same one, that there are so many beliefs out there. That's why we come back to the Word of God. That's why in our, it's in the Baptist Faith and Message, but also as a church, we stand on the truth of Scripture. We know that not everybody is going to interpret Scripture exactly how we're laying it out, but it does give us more to be alike on than to be divided by. And instead of focusing on the divisions that we find, we need to focus on where we're together. Really and truly, denominations have done more to weaken the cause and the purpose of Christ Jesus than it has to strengthen it, I believe. And especially if we're not careful, it can become a tool of the enemy. But God can also take it. And that's why worship in the field and things like we did this weekend, I think they're so important to get other churches involved whether they say Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, no, independent, whatever, get us, because there is so much that we can stand together on in Scripture instead of being divided. And one is that there is no other truth outside of the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, then it is not truth. You know, we live in a time where, and I read this today, it's amazing, but we live in a time where people want the what's real. And you know what? Truth is real. That's exactly what truth is. You can, if they were blocks and you had to stick them through the square or the round hole, truth and reality could both fit in the same place. So that's why we stand on the truth of God's Word. And then we also looked at God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God as one deity, but then we see the triune portion, and we looked at the triangle and discussed it. Then in our second lesson, we looked at humanity, we looked at gender roles, male and female, we looked at the value and worth of life. In the third lesson, we looked at salvation and redemption, and the three aspects of salvation, the regeneration, sanctification, and glorification. Of all those, the regeneration, sanctification, glorification, regeneration happens in an instant. We're born again. But glorification and sanctification, they're continuing on. They're every day. And then in our last one, we looked at specifically the idea was the ordinances or the things, the traits that we hold dear. But it, more than that, we are looking at the expressions of faith, because the ordinance of faith, they do not save. There's nothing about participating in them that makes you saved. With the two ordinances we hold, baptism and the Lord's Supper, both of those are expressions of faith. They are outward expressions of what has happened inward to us. Baptism, it is an outward expression of the dying to self, the being buried to sin, death, hell, and then rising up as Christ did, just as they took Christ, nailed him to the cross, holding the sins of the world, of whosoever. And then they took him off the cross, placed him in a borrowed tomb with the weight and guilt of our sins upon him. And 3 days later, he arises up in victory. And so in the physical sense, we go into the baptismal waters dead in our trespasses and sin. We go into the watery grave, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we arise in newness of purpose, life, and plan. And then there's also the Lord's Supper. Some believe that the bread and the wine turn into the flesh of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't believe the Bible tells us not to consume blood. And so I do not believe that the Lord is turning the juice into wine when he said that we're not to be cannibals, basically. But we do know that just as bread and wine are productive and they bring life to our physical being, you take that away and you're not going to live very long. We know that the body and the blood of Jesus Christ are where we find our eternal life, our spiritual life in him. And then there is public declaration of faith. And we know that baptism does not save. We know that the thief on the cross was not able to be saved. Scripture tells us that we must repent and be baptized. But if we don't repent, then we'll die, we're guilty. We'll be found guilty. So we see that it isn't. But Jesus Christ, it was his first act after public ministry. When he moved into his public ministry, he was baptized by John the Baptist, and we see that it is passed down through the church. We see that it is practiced by the church. And public profession, though, Jesus said, if you profess me before men, I'll profess you before, or confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And one of the easiest way to make a public profession, some do it by walking down the aisle, but I believe your public profession is complete when you follow through in believer's baptism. And if you'll notice, I try to make sure that before we ever get them wet, they have vocally declared the salvation that Jesus has brought into their hearts and into their lives. And then tonight we'll be picking up. I think we looked at the Church Universal last time, but I want us to look at that again, simply because what does the word Catholic mean? Universal. Exactly. It is not simply a denomination, but it is a description of the church in totality, all the way from the book of Genesis till the last time that Christ allows for a soul to be saved. All of those make up the universal church. If you remember there in the book of Ephesians, we talked about how while, yes, it was in the Old Testament that the Hebrews, the Jews, were the people of God, Paul, who was, and we know that he was a stickler for the teachings of the Old Testament and the practices of the temple and the rabbis. But listen what he says after he come to a relationship with Jesus Christ over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. He says, at that time, you were without the Messiah. Now remember, he's writing to the church at Ephesus, which is going to be like this morning, the book of Hebrews, while it was wrote to a group of believers which lived in Rome, it was written specifically to a group of Hebrew believers or Jewish believers. And so they were able to tie it back in with the Old Testament and the, you know, it talks about baptisms and how the priest would have to be baptized, and we've talked about that. But here, he's writing more to a Gentile audience. And so he says, at that time, you were without the Messiah, excluded from the citizenship of Israel. Now, I don't believe in replacement theology. There are promises that have been given to the nation of Israel that are not to the church. Just like we are not going to get to vote on what the capital city of the kingdom of God is going to be. It already has its name. We have New Hampshire, we have New Mexico, and the city of God's kingdom, the capital, is going to be New Jerusalem. That's just the way it is. But he says, you were excluded from the citizenship of Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus, you who were afar away have been brought near by the blood of the Messiah. For he is our peace, who have made both groups to be one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. In his flesh, he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from two, resulting in peace. And praise God, that is the bride of Christ, the church, the one that Christ died for, the one that he put ahead of his own desires and his own emotions, and the ones that the church, the bride of Christ, is who he is returning to receive. And let me just read, we, Thomas Village, believe that the Bible shows the assembling of men, women, boys, and girls called out and born again by the blood of Jesus Christ throughout all history as the church or ecclesia as a whole. The church is the only earthly institution that Jesus Christ established, and it is the only earthly institution that is established upon Jesus Christ. You remember, he asked the disciples, the apostles, who do you say I am? And some said that you are Elijah, some say that you're Isaiah. Then he says, no, who do you say that I am? And remember, Peter responded and says, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the promised one of God. And remember, he said, upon this I will build my kingdom. Did he mean Peter, that I'm going to build my kingdom and my church on Peter? No, Paul clearly states that there's only one foundation, but it was the truth that Peter confessed. The church is built on the reality that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. That is the foundation. That's why we stand upon the Bible, because it is what tells us that there is no other foundation that can be laid other than that which is already laid. The church is not a social club. It's not a business organization. but it is the body of Jesus Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit within His people. Hallelujah. The church is a living, breathing, functioning organism. And we have to remember that, or else we'll get caught up in the country club church membership or something like that, you know, that... And I will say, being a member of a local church, it does have its privileges. It does. You get to vote. If you don't like what's me, you get to say, I don't like you. And then you get to try. But if you're just coming here and not a member, if you say you don't like me, I don't care anyways. Others might like it, but now let's look at the church local. And here's what's neat. At least 2/3 to 3/4, when the church is referenced in the New Testament, it is not the church universal, but it is the local church. Think about it. The book of Romans, the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatia, Thessalonians, all of those are different cities. And they are specific to the church. And you remember Paul said, share the letters. Give it to the other church and this church and all that. But still we see that the reference and the instructions that are being laid out, they are given to the local church. Also in the New Testament, the church is used in reference to a local body of those that follow after Jesus Christ and His teachings. Corinth, Rome, Thessalonica. The Holy Spirit has brought believers from different backgrounds, cultures, skill sets, all together to serve God and to carry on the work of Jesus Christ until He returns. And truth is, a lot of us would not know each other because we're in different roles. We have different career paths. We have different abilities, but it is under the name of Jesus Christ that all of us come together. And God has called many a motley crew to come together and be bigger than what we are individually. You know, it comes together and then we can do more for the glory of the Lord. Christ Jesus is the head or the supreme authority over both the church universal and the church local. The pastor is not the head. The deacons are not the head. The church council is not the head. Now, the pastor is called the understudy, and God has appointed certain positions, biblical positions, that are to lead the church, but it is not to be about what the pastor wants, the deacons want, the council wants, but we've got to stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ so that we understand His will and His direction. And you know what? I believe 100% if God wants to start or to continue a ministry within a body, then the people are already in that body. Make sense to you? That people are already there. I found this out too. You know, sometimes I like to say people, I'm an idea man. You know, I throw the idea out there just like this weekend with it. And I believe you me, it was whole lot prettier than what I ever thought it could and would be. But you know, sometimes when God gives you an idea of a ministry, not only is that a good idea for a ministry, but it's also Him prodding you, saying, hey, guess what? You shouldn't expect anyone to pick up your idea and run with it. You should pick it up and lead in it, you know? Sometimes when we think this one or that one should be visited, could it be the fact that God's telling us we need to visit them? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm not. I'm a co-laborer with everyone. I'm to be there and to work and to go about it so that the kingdom of God will grow. Church members help bear the burdens of the church family while also experience the benefits as well. The leadership and governing of the local church is in accord with the Bible. Those that have displayed the love of Jesus, a reverence for Him, and His pursuit of His purpose are called by the local church to lead the body. Also, as members, each individual should give a tithe or a tenth of what they have received, so that the church will work. His work will continue, and the same is true for time, talent, and effort. We should tithe off of our time, our treasures, and our talents. Those are three areas: our time, our treasure, and our talents that we should be giving. Because remember, God said, love the Lord thy God with all your being, with all of who you are. And if we're all giving, now some today don't believe in giving the tithe is under the new covenant. Believe that, you know, we're under the covenant of grace, and so we give what we can. But I promise you this, and this is one that my daddy, and this is one thing me and Amy never had to butt heads about. We were both brought up in giving the tithe means giving of the tenth. You know, and Jesus said, when questioned about paying taxes and things like that, he said, render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, or give the government what the government is going to take. I mean, it just don't be upset about it. We've been paying taxes all the way back then. But he also says, render unto God that which is God. And you know what? Ignorance is not always an acceptable excuse. And if you study any in the Word of God, I mean, if you look up the word tithe in and of, it means the tenth. And so, but I challenge you this, make out, give God the first cut. And I promise you, you may not get everything that month that you want, but he always meets the needs. Oh, hey, buddy, there's been times we've rolled quarters, dimes, and all that kind of stuff to get us through the last week of the month. But he's always been there. He's always made sure that there was enough quarters, enough dimes, and enough pennies that we could roll them. My family don't like to spend change. I'll spend a penny as quick as I can, buddy. One, two, three, four. Quarters, man, they spend easy. And you know what? The local stores really like getting them right now, too. You go in there with a yellow and blue Ziploc bag filled up with quarters, they're happy to see you sometimes. That's a moth flying over there. I thought it was a quarter rolling on the floor over there. No, I caught it out the corner of my eyes. How many of you? I'm going to go off topic right here. My dad, time out. My dad has, you know, he had cataract surgery. And ever since he's had the cataract surgery, he's been doing good. But about 3 days later, he got a floater. How many of you know have floaters? And he said he kept, do you know what? I keep floaters. I mean, they're there all the time. Look like squiggly lines or little invisible fleas, you know, that's just going all over. And is that not normal? It ain't really. Well, Sister Frieda told me she thought I was strange this weekend, so. You get them too? Yeah, I mean, they just there. How many of you keep floaters regular? How many of you never have them?
Never.
I mean, you don't have to deal with them. That's a blessing. That's a benefit. But, I mean, they just there for me. All right, let's get back to our studies. Pray for his eyes. That's what all that was about. Y'all think I was just running a rabbit? No, pray for my daddy and his eyes. I could read if it's there. I could read it this morning. I'm good, buddy. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. Anybody got any questions about the universal church, the idea and the truth of it, or maybe any questions about the local church? Now, we are going to begin to talk a little bit more about the membership, the Lord's Day, things like that. So, anyone else? Anyone at all? All right, the Lord's Day. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe and know that Sunday is the first day of the week, is to be set apart for the glory and worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It celebrates the resurrection of Jesus, along with celebrating the salvation he offers, his people along with his church. It is a day of public and community worship with other fellows of Christ. And Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see that day approaching. It is a day we are to rest from earthly works, responsibilities, jobs, along with our human endeavors. In situations such as sickness, burden, or great affliction, we are to follow the example of Christ Jesus as he healed and ministered to those in need during his time in recognition of God. When he ran into the crippled man, remember, he healed on the Sabbath day. And matter of fact, you had the religious crowd, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They questioned him on it. They called him out about it. But I want to tell you this. There's certain jobs that a functioning society could not go a day without. EMS, prison workers, man, prison and law, pray. If you have a friend or know of any, pray. That place, if this is the place of God, then the jailhouses, the prisons, the penitentiaries, those are the devil's place. There is this wickedness concentrate, you know, in that area. And it takes its toll on families and homes. And so there is a calling for that. There is a calling for nurses and for those that work. At the time of Christ, the seventh day, Sunday, or Saturday, was known as the Sabbath, and it was a part of hundreds of conduct-type laws that were lacking in sincere worship. The Old Testament prophets wrote of how the Sabbath had become detestable in the eyes of God. And in Malachi, they talk about how they're offering up maimed and blind sheep. Remember, it was supposed to be the best, the pick of the lot, no flaw. Other than Saturday, Sabbaths were days marked as holy unto the Lord. The Passover days, the celebration of the booths. There were different types of Sabbath days. And many today still feel compelled to worship on Saturday. And they're following, being obedient to the Old Testament commands. Now, I will not put down any more one, but the idea of the Lord's Day, and when we talk about the Lord's Day, we are specifically talking about the first day of the week. It is all about worship and communion of man to God in recognition of who he is more important than the rituals. And notice it is called the Lord's Day. There is no direct command from Christ to move the Lord's Day from Saturday to Sunday. However, it was on the first day of the week, Sunday, that Jesus arose from the grave. Amen? And it was, the tomb was found empty. And then I like to say it was on that same Sunday that we see the first Sunday night service when all the apostles are gathered together, all except Thomas, remember? All come in, and who shows up? He don't knock on the door. He don't even open the door. He just comes right on in. I believe that is the first meeting of the New Testament church right then, because it's from those men and probably around 500 others that what we know as the Christian faith come from. In his writings, we see that Paul instructs the Corinth church along with other churches in New Testament letters to gather together to partake of the Lord's Supper and take up collections on what day? The first day of the week. Specifically, he tells them about taking up collections for the people in Jerusalem. And we also see there where we get the teaching that those who handle the money in the church, they are to be appointed by the body. That's what Paul tells them to do. He says, pick somebody out from among you, and they can go with me to carry the money to Jerusalem. So see, once again, it's not just tradition. It's not just because we like to have it on a Sunday, but we like to take up the offerings and the tithes. No, that is the instruction that was laid down from the first churches that ever were. Also this. Now, while our heritage is in the Jewish faith, we are not Jewish. Now, we are all Hebrews because we come through faith through the as Abraham, you remember that, but we are Christians. That's why, one reason why it has moved from the Saturday to Sunday, because that is a clear declaration that we worship Jesus Christ. You know, I mean, some, especially in other parts of the world, if you went to church on Saturday, they would just assume that you were taking part in the Sabbath day, from the sun going down to the sun rising up. Notice here in the book of Acts, it says, on the first day of the week, on a Sunday, we assembled to break bread. And notice what happened. Now they come together. Were they specifically going to have the Lord's Supper? Don't know. But we know that when they come together, they came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to them. And since he was about to depart the next day, he extended his message unto midnight. Now notice here, we see that being long-winded is biblical as well. Amen? There were many lamps in the rooms upstairs where we were assembled. Do you remember how this thing plays out? What happens? Oh, sleepyhead falls out the window and kills itself. And Paul brings him back to life. But look here in 1 Corinthians 16. This is what I was talking about. Chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. Now about the collection for the saints, you should do the same thing as I instructed the Galatian churches. Now see, it's not just, but this is what was practiced, what Paul expected to be a part of Sunday worship. On the first day of each week, each of you should set aside something and keep and save in keeping with how he prospers, so that no collections will be needed to be made when I come. And you read on through there, you'll see when he says, you pick out somebody to come with me to make sure the funds are used how we've said they would be used. And so is there any discussion on the Lord's Day? Now some believe it, because it's in the Ten Commandments, that we still should be worshiping on the Saturday. Now, one, we've got to remember that in Judaism, there was a national law, there was ritualistic law, and then there were moral laws, okay? And what we see in the Ten Commandments, they are moral laws. You'll see that many of them deal with, I think, five or six, deal with how we deal with one another. You know, you don't lie to one another. You don't covetousness of one another. So that's how we deal with one another. And then the other ones, they're how we deal with God. You remember? You shall have no other gods before you. You don't take the Lord's name in vain. You don't make any graven images. And you remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Now, we live under another reason why is because we no longer live under the law. We're no longer under, we are under the covenant of grace. Now, does that mean that all those things are still good? Yes, but instead of giving him the last day, we give the first day. And so, and then some of that about the mixing of don't wear wool and another type fabric. You remember where it says that it's not proper to do that. That's not relevant today, especially not to us as Christians. Now, if you were from the Jewish faith and you wanted to carry on your heritage, more power to you. But guess what? Just because I wear polyester and lycra mixed together, hey, that's not going to send me to hell. That, as a matter of fact, lying isn't what's going to. Really and truly what sends you to hell is the rejection of the salvation of Jesus Christ. We tread upon the precious blood that he shed for us. But then, like we talked about this morning, the covenant of marriage, it was to be treated as precious all the way back. Why? Because that's a part of moral law. God's moral law never changes, you know. So any thoughts about the Lord's Day or even the idea of the national law, the ritual law, and then the moral law? But see, being able to understand that is because a lot of people know Scripture just enough to be dangerous with it. And they'll say, well, what about cutting your, you can cut all your hair except for the curls that hang down. Why don't you wear the curls that hang? That was a part of rabbinical law, not a part of moral law. He never expected Gentiles to have curls and to participate in all that. No, he had a plan. All right, now as we talk about the purchased servant of Christ, it's going to lead into the church member. So let's just do the purchased service and purchased servant. We, Thomas Village Baptist Church, believe Christ Jesus owns us because he is the one that paid the price for each individual sinner. Matter of fact, he was the only one that is able to pay that price. We are legally and forever his property. And you know what else? Just because you don't want to be, don't stop you from being the property of our Creator. You know that? I mean, we got pets. You know, sometimes my pets don't want to obey me. They want to run around. Do they stop being my pets? No, they're mine. And I love them to death. But we are his. Even the most evil and the most wicked person, you know, at any moment, God can make them do whatever he wants them to do at any moment. The Bible makes it clear that our physical bodies and abilities are to be used for the will of God and for his purpose to see his kingdom grow. In the gospel, Jesus is the perfect example. So see, not only is he our Savior and our Lord, but he is also our example for the faithful servant. He spent the years of his ministry here on earth doing the will of the Father in heaven. At the cross, we see this clearly demonstrated. Also, Christ's abilities, his works, his miracles were, as he declared, that the works of my Father might be revealed. The Holy Spirit has given talents and gifts to each and every true believer. Jesus also warns that so-called servants that are not willing to serve and sacrifice in his purpose are in danger of hell, fire, and eternal separation and damnation. And see, I think there's a lot that are being deceived into thinking that they have fire insurance, but they have never been excited about Jesus. They've never been on fire about working and serving and ministering to others. In the book that I'm reading, lust is always about self. Love is always about others. You know that? Lust is about satisfying my need right here, right now. And that's all we care about. Love puts the needs of the other individuals and what's better for them before our own. And that's especially needs to be understood by those that are of age in high school and going into college, and recognize that there is a difference between love and lust. And because I tell you what, the world is not ashamed of its perverseness sexually anymore. It is open and flamboyant and in your face. And we may blush at talking to our children about godliness and what the Bible says, but the world ain't blushing a bit, and they're getting all the attention as well. You know that? I mean, anymore, type a wrong word in on the computer and see what happens. Unless you've got a filter or something like that, you can mess up one stroke, one key, and some of the most ungodly stuff will pop up. You see it. We are bought with a price there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Our bodies are for his service. And then we see the sacrificial servant in Jesus Christ. You remember he prayed in the garden. We see the humanity, the Son of God and the Son of Man all at once, where he says, if it be your will, let this cup or let this what's coming, let it pass from me, but yet not my will, but thy will be done. And then we see the warning of Christ Jesus where he talks about it. So is there any thoughts on any of what we've studied tonight? All righty. God bless you. Do be praying this week for all that's going on in our world, and truly be lifting up our president and all them, that they make the right decisions. And before we close, I'm going to, Brother Cody, Colby, you mind closing us out in a word of prayer tonight? Come up here so everybody on Facebook can hear you, okay?
All right, let's pray. God, I'd like to start off by thanking you for salvation and yes, redemption in my life. Often today I thought of how unworthy I am to even talk in your presence, God, but I am thankful for your Son and his sacrifice to be able to speak to the Creator of the universe.
Yes,
I pray that as we go throughout the week, that we not just forget and put you back on the back burner, but remember that you are our number one goal and that your goals are our goals.
Yes.
And that we show love because we were so loved. I pray that we have a good week and we come back next Sunday. And everything that's going on in the world, though it may be chaos and may just be absolute turmoil, we have faith that you are in control of every situation and that you know the outcome. I thank you for everything you've given me. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Have a good week, y'all.